Hello, I'm Philip Betbees, Senior Editor of Finance for Health Leaders Media. We're talking today with David Nykrug, Chief Executive Officer of Optimatum Group, LLC, which is a company that helps employers maximize health benefits while optimizing their costs. So thanks for joining us today, David.
Thank you, Philip.
David, we were talking prior to this call, and you and I were discussing how companies hold the line on their health care costs, at least recently, through cost shifting, but that doing it that way is incomplete and leaves a lot of money on the table. If you could, talk briefly about what other strategies that you're helping smart employers use to reduce, control their benefit costs when they shift it all they can.
Okay, thank you. First of all, two thoughts on cost shifting. First of all, the way employers and organizations have addressed healthcare cost containment has really been in the terms of cost shifting. Employers have basically hit a brick wall by increasing co-pays as well as increasing deductibles. And on top of it, through the years, have also further been increasing a share of employees' premiums. It's really been a shifting mechanism versus a true cost containment mechanism. Furthermore, some of the trends that we've seen is that as a direct result of this, we've seen a decrease in office visits, an increase in emergency room utilization, as well as an increase in average length of stay in the hospital. What's happening is that people are not going to the doctor as much. They're waiting till they're sicker, so they're landing up in the emergency room, and even furthermore, they're landing up in the hospital for, if they could fix it in a day, it's taking 2 or 3 days or even longer.
I got you. So it's a short-term solution.
It's not even a short-term solution because it's a direct effect if you have asthmatics or diabetics or other people with chronic conditions who are not going in and going in for their maintenance of meds and seeing the doctor on a regular basis. It's just adding larger costs down the road.
Right.
It's being, as they say, you know, penny-wise and dollar-foolish.
There you go. Well, and that brings us to our next point. I believe you mentioned to me when we were talking before that shifting benefits by working on co-pays and co-insurance is really only dealing with the so-called right side of the healthcare cost structure for most employers. What are they often neglecting on the left side?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the right and left side of the plan. And what we're dealing with is if the plan's in the center, the way employers have addressed the right side, which is, you know, the simpler side. Listen, premiums go up, expenses go up, we have to reduce them quickly. It's a no-brainer. Okay, the copay this year is $20, next year will be $30 or $40. And the same thing with employee share premiums. Those continue to go up. Versus focusing on the left side. Now, the right side, we've also landed up with employee noise. Every time you increase premiums or every time you increase deductibles, we're going to land up with employee noise. What people have really not been focusing on is the left side of the plan, between the left side of the house or between the plan and the vendors, which is holding the vendors accountable and addressing there's leakage or inefficiencies within the system that can directly correlate to some hard dollar savings without any employee noise or impact to employees.
Great. Well, you mentioned to me before that you saw vendors which, you know, for your clients' purposes include things like health plans, third-party administrators, pharmacy benefit managers, disease management programs, for example, as I think you said B-minus or C-plus students. Talk a little bit about what you meant by that.
Okay. First of all the vendors out there we're talking about, I mean, our clients are employers, but they retain TPAs or PBMs or disease management companies to provide services for their health plan. All the vendors are doing an okay or good job administrating the plan. However, there's still a sizable opportunities to reduce and control costs since there remains this inefficiencies or leakage throughout within the system. And it's really looking at the way the vendors are administrating the plan and actually holding them accountable to what they signed up for.
So in other words, they make promises in their sales pitches that they're not necessarily held accountable to down the road.
And it's a very simple, and I would be cautious with that, is, but if you take the traditional sales presentation that a vendor makes, and when you're looking at your agreement, sit down with it, and if they're promising X percentage in a disease management program or X percentage return through third-party liability or subrogation, making sure that those metrics are in your agreement with them.
I see.
And that's what we're talking about. Furthermore, you really also need to be able to, when we talk about performance guarantees or service level agreements, put some teeth in it. If they don't hit these metrics, what's going to happen?
In other words, what sort of further discounting will they provide for their services or that kind of thing, correct?
Right. I mean, taking basic issues of generic utilization, any of these types of metrics that they're pitching in their sales pitch, make sure that they're going to hold themselves accountable to.
That makes sense. We'll talk a little bit about what kinds of cost savings that you're typically able to achieve for employers. And further, does the beneficiary, in this case I mean the employee, notice any of these strategies that you use?
Okay, for our average client is seeing direct hard dollar savings of 10 to 12% first year and 5 to 7% on an ongoing recurring basis. First of all, that's hard direct savings. We're not even talking about 2 to 3 times that potentially in indirect or soft cost savings, number one. Number two, we're talking about all of these savings are without shifting, without increasing cost, and otherwise known as, zero or negligible impact to the employee noise dial.
Gotcha. Now, in terms of the employee, they might notice that hey, they are getting a little bit more attention, especially if they're a chronic patient. They might be getting a little bit more attention, but they're not seeing that their premiums are increasing or their copays or coinsurance is going up in this situation.
No, we're talking about things like if you have an individual who has a chronic condition and before they may have gotten a love letter in the mail about a disease management program, maybe they're going to get 2 or 3, maybe they're going to get a phone call, maybe even further their doc may get a phone call. Or generic utilization, maybe there'll be increased marketing by the pharmacy benefit manager to try to entice the employee to turn to a generic drug. Those are the types of things that we're talking about, is things that are already in the plan document. The employee is already aware that they exist, but nobody's really been focusing on those areas.
Great, David. Well, it's about, as we've talked about here, it's about holding those vendors to their promises. And I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. So thanks for joining us, David. And we'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us today, too.
My pleasure, and have a good day.
You too. This is Philip Betbees for Health Leaders Media.